The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Eddie Wilson is with me, the CEO from Ryanair, to talk about what Alan mentioned in the news headlines the decision to not reverse the nighttime cap as had been kind of heralded at Dublin Airport. So it means that flights would be able to use the runway up until midnight and from 6 a.m. Eddie, are you happy with this?
No, I mean, it's another cap, Kieran. And, you know, the devil is in the detail on this, because what's now happened is that we've got two runways at Dublin Airport that should get us to 60 million passengers over the next, 10 to 15 years. And now they're being artificially constrained. So what they've done today is they have not done a science-based solution on this for, you know, quieter aircraft should be rewarded. And our newest aircraft are about 50% quieter. But they put an absolute cap between those hours on both runways of 35,672 movements a year. So that's takeoff and landings. But we're already up at 34,000, just over 34,000 for all of the airlines. So it's actually going to max out. If you take an extra 1,000 movements, it sounds like a lot. That's about 3 flights a day. And what that now means is that we have a second cap. The government already had one cap, and now they've allowed another part of another government agency to put a second cap in. It's a joke.
Is it a joke? I mean, I see Dara O'Brien, the Minister for Transport, welcoming this and welcoming that there's clarity at least around this second cap. Kenny Jacobs of DAA, we're going to be speaking to Kenny after 5 o'clock. DAA released a statement. They say they welcome this as well. So why are they welcoming it, but you're unhappy? One would imagine they'd have the same vision of expansion for the airport.
I think you'll probably hear when the other airlines come out, because if you take even the long-haul carriers, okay, so if you come back from the States with American Airlines or Aer Lingus, you generally land between, 5 o'clock and 7 o'clock in the morning back into Dublin. Mm. And that all depends on weather. So that's when they land. And if you're going to, if we're almost at the max, you won't be able to grow transatlantic traffic. You'll be at the max. And then from Ryanair's point of view, if you put in a based aircraft, okay, which generally start between 6 and 7 o'clock in the morning, that means then that those movements will be used up. So it's the way they've cut this up is going to stymie the utilization of the runway. So you won't be able to grow transatlantic traffic, because that's when they land. They don't land at any other time of the day. And if you want to get extra growth, you won't be able to put in extra based aircraft.
On Comisium Pleanála, I guess they've got to weigh up competing interests in this. And one of those interests would be residents in the area who don't want more and more aircraft already, taking off late at night and early in the morning.
They already showed their competence on this in the initial decision, which had to go back to the drawing board, which would have actually put the airport backwards. This is the difficulty with this is that you've got a piece of national infrastructure. It needs the competence of somebody who's going to look at national infrastructure, whether that's gas terminals, whether it's the electricity grid, whether it's an extension to the M50, whether it's the airport, railways. Mm. It can't be using the same level of competence that is doing.
Eddie, the issue here is not their competence. The issue is that you don't like their decision, isn't it?
No. But sure,
I mean, if a completely different authority that you were happy with but came along and said, you know what, we agree with Comisium and Pleanála, you can't do this. It's unfair on the residents.
Hold on a second. They built a second runway, and now you can't use the runway. And you can't use the runway to its full ability over the next 10 to 15 years. It's not necessarily Ryanair here. What's going to happen here is that you're not going to be able to develop the economy. It's a national piece of infrastructure. And if you live near an airport, you can expect that there's going to be noise and inconvenience and lighting and everything that comes from that. And that's what happens. You can't satisfy all of those. And the overriding concern has to be on an island in the northwestern Atlantic that you've got to have connectivity. No point in building two runways for 60 million passengers if you get a local planning authority that puts an arbitrary decision on, not a science-based solution. Yeah. We invest in all these new aircraft. They reduce noise by 50%. So if you should be at least on, you know, on leaving cert mats there, you should be able to get one movement or two movements if the aircraft are, well, half as quiet.
Let's try to approach this then from the point of view of Ancomisiún Pleanála or another competent authority. And you've got a kind of competing interests, polar opposite interests. You've got you guys who want to kind of expand the airport. You've got people living in the area who don't want any expansion. In fact, they'd prefer maybe a retraction. Some of them, not all, but maybe some would prefer that the airport and the air was an awful lot quieter. So Ancomisiún Pleanála, I mean, they're both are interested parties. They both have a right to be heard. And you said it yourself, you can't satisfy all parties. So what compromise would you be willing to make?
The compromise is, if you don't like living beside an airport, don't live beside an airport.
But it's not much of a compromise. Like, get lost, the rest of you.
But if you have a national piece of infrastructure, and you can't, you know, like there are obvious problems if you've got to live beside, you know, things like the incinerator in Sandymount or whatever it is, and people make up their decisions based on that. But the answer is don't burn the waste, right? You've got to do something somewhere. So national pieces of infrastructure have to be dealt with in that way for the long term. This is a fudge, the usual fudge, and we now have a cap of 35,000 movements that will be reached, if not later this year, but early next year. And the one place that we're trying to increase connectivity, not Ryanair, but other airlines where you coming in from the States, won't be able to land between 5 and 7 o'clock because there's a cap on this, which we've already reached. We won't be able to put in additional based aircraft. The government has two runways for 60 million passengers, and we have two caps now. None of them have been removed. The minister hasn't done anything about the first cap, and no sooner has he not done anything about that, another arm of the state comes along and sticks another cap on. It's laughable.
All right. Well, listen, I mentioned Kenny Jacobs of DAA, who is going to be with us after 5 o'clock here in studio to talk a little bit about this from his point of view. Eddie, thanks a million for joining us. Eddie Wilson, Ryanair CEO, 087-1400-106. The DAA got planning and then changed the flight paths. They cannot be trusted, says somebody. Another, though, says DAA need to threaten to pull the airport out of its current location and relocate to a greenfield site. We'll see the response of the NIMBYs when the value of their houses collapse and when hotel and B&Bs close down. That view of one listener to the show. Anyway, like I say, 087-1400-106. Niamh Maher is with me. Niamh lives in the area and has spoken before about how she and her family have been impacted. So, Niamh, what's your reaction to this decision?
Hi. Well, obviously, you know, it's a pretty big document, but the overwhelming obvious thing is in relation to, you know, the actual increase in the amount of flight movements overnight compared to the draft decision in September. And at the time, we felt everything was going in the right direction in terms of recognising the fact that nighttime aircraft noise is particularly detrimental to people's health. And, you know, that's something that has been completely overshot in a lot of the conversations that are happening. There is a reason for restricting nighttime aircraft noise is because it's so detrimental to your health, your cardiovascular health, your children, their development. So it's not just plucking numbers out of the sky. This is, you know, hard facts. And, you know, Ancomisiún Pleanála do have to take that into consideration, Ancomisiún Pleanála, in relation to decisions that they make because of the environmental effect of the airport. It's not going to go away. There are communities that are living under flight paths, and particularly in relation to night flights, the only way to protect those communities' health is to reduce the number of flight movements, because it's individual noise events. It's not noise averaged out over the night. That's not how the noise works, and that's not how it disturbs your sleep. So in relation to this, obviously, we're, you know, our committee would be disappointed the fact that, you know, it's now tripled since the one in September. There has to be a fleet movement limit. It can't be a carte blanche to fly as many flights as you want, because, like I said, the actual damage is caused by these individual events, not by averaging the amount of noise out over the night.
What about this idea, and Eddie Wilson mentioned it there, that the newer aircraft are much, much quieter?
You see, they talk about this 50% reduction in noise, but that's a 3 decibel reduction because noise is logarithmic. So that fudges the actual reduction in noise. So if you've got an aircraft flying over your home and it's already at 85 decibels and it's reduced to 82, that's still pretty loud. It's still going to wake you up or disturb your sleep, you know. So that's not relevant in terms of what damage it can do. It's like I said, those peak events, there's no point in averaging it out because that's actually not where the damage lies. It's to do with the individual event of the noise, you know. So that's not going to solve the problem by having the slightly quieter aircraft. You know, they're still huge aircraft. They're still creating noise. By reducing it by 3 decibels, that's not major, you know.
And how would you respond then to Eddie Wilson's suggestion that when faced with competing interests, the advice to people who don't want the airport to expand should be moved somewhere else?
Well, you see, we have this other side of things where in relation to the management of the noise problem, and there is a huge noise problem associated with Dublin Airport at the moment, which is not being dealt with properly. And, you know, mitigation is part of that, but it comes down to planning as well. And as you know, with the flight path and where they were or were not meant to be, you know, people just get the surprise of a plane flying over their home, which was never meant to be there. You know, this all feeds into, you know, the discontent and the anger with what is going on. So to make the comments that, you know, you shouldn't live there, you shouldn't live here. Sure, people at the moment, especially with the North Runway, are living in places that were not planned to be overflown, and they are being overflown. You know, and this is causing real consequences to people's lives in terms of just their day-to-day living, being able to go out into their garden, their kids going to sleep at night, you know, sleep deprivation the next day. It's very real-time consequences. And unfortunately, what's happening right now is that, you know, you have the airlines, obviously, they want to make money. You know, the DAA, they want to expand and make money. Where's the sustainability in that? The other side of that is that you have to factor in the environmental effects that all of this is causing. Mm. And, you know, is our health and our life supposed to be a bargaining tool against that? It's a very unfair situation to be in, you know, and then we get criticised for standing up for ourselves and our families. Because, you know, if it happened to the other person that isn't being exposed to this, they would respond in the very same way because it's having such a major effect on your life. So, of course, we have to object, you know.
Dean Mulligan is with us. Councillor Dean Mulligan, an independent councillor in studio. Dean, how should we solve this problem?
Adhere to the planning permission in the first instance. If the flight paths, the flight contours were flown as agreed, we'd be in a much better situation in terms of the people materially affected by noise. They would have real-time mitigating measures available to them. Now, mitigation in terms of actual mitigation. You talked about relocation. There is no relocation scheme available for residents in the area unless you're in Contour A, which is mainly the people from the North Runway, as Niamh mentioned. So if you are affected by noise, and you weren't meant to be exposed to noise, unless you're under the contour, you have no mediation. And let's be real about what actually insulating someone's home. Every house across the country had to open their window last week because of a heat wave. So if your home is insulated, it's as useful as an ashtray on a bike if you have to open a window at night and that noise is there on top of the heat. The reality of the situation is insulation isn't the be-all and end-all. Mm. Having a proper consultation and actually taking the health impact of aircraft noise into account, like they have done in Heathrow and Schiphol and Frankfurt and other airports, and actually saying, you know what, there is research, there is actually studies that say the impact for children and adults in terms of cardiovascular functioning is affected by nighttime noise. Yes, people come normalised to it. That doesn't mean the body isn't affected.
Yeah.
And I think what we need to be real is the inspector didn't even mention in this application once about the health impact of noise. Nor did Eddie Wilson, nor did the DAA or Kenny Jacobs. They talk about, you know, happy mediums. Happy mediums is going with the law that's in place.
Yeah. But given where we are now, I mean, are you suggesting then that that scheme whereby people who are living under those contours have access to relief, that be expanded to other people, or that we actually reduce the number of flights in and out of the airport?
Well, like, the airport is going to expand. There's no question about the expansion of the airport. It just needs to be done in a manner that's fair and consistent with the planning laws that me or you would abide by if we're looking for planning permission. So I'm not... Listen, there is a lot of residents that don't want to expand, and I can understand that because they have way they've been treated since 2007 and beyond. But the reality is they've already made it abundantly clear that business is business, and we're doing this like it or lump it, that's what they're doing. So, there's what, no ambiguity.
Alongside that, there should be a broader compensation scheme?
There should be a compensation scheme, a consultation, and an ability for a resident to say, I'm materially affected by noise. Can I have a conversation with you? On a human level, we have the, you know, the community department within the DAA. They're making upwards of 500 million euros of profit a year, and not just in the in Ireland, but in the UAE and everywhere else. There's money there. A conversation to have and actually mitigate the situation for people materially affected would go a long way. But it's very difficult and complex, Kieran. So it's easy for Eddie Wilson or Michael O'Leary to give you a soundbite and everyone in the nation to say, sure, these people are getting in the way of expansion. But what they're getting in the way in is actually trying to provide a home for their children in an area that, in most instances, weren't meant to be affected by noise.
All right, we're going to put these issues to Kenny Jacobs of DAA. We'll find out where they stand on this, whether they welcome it or what they view, or how they view, rather, some of those limitations placed on it. That's coming up after 5 o'clock. In the meantime, can I thank Dean Mulligan for coming in to us, the independent councillor. Can I thank Niamh Maher as well, a local resident. Before both, we spoke to Eddie Wilson from Ryanair. Eddie Wilson thinks it's a joke. The Minister for Transport says balanced and sensible, profoundly disappointing, is what some of the residents in the area we spoke to said. Kenny Jacobs, the CEO of DAA, and he's with me in studio. Kenny, what's a DAA?
Look, it's not perfect. I agree with the Minister. Look, a decision is that we have one now is good. We've been waiting a long time for this decision. So we welcome that we finally have a decision that brings clarity and it unlocks other things. Namely, for me, the most important thing is getting on and building at Dublin Airport. Dublin Airport's in great condition. Passengers are really, really happy. We want to make it bigger. We can't make it bigger until we get planning permission. That's the 40 million application that's been sitting in Fingal for the last 18 months. This unlocks that and we can now work with Fingal on that. Look, everybody's kind of unhappy and a lot of the time these decisions are like that. There's enough for us to get on and work with. We don't like the cap on movements, also like Ryanair. I think that was unnecessary. There is a noise quota in there. Eddie's absolutely right. New modern aircraft make half the noise of old aircraft. So there should have been a better, that mechanism wasn't required. So look, in the round, happy there's a decision. We'll get on with it. We want to, I don't think the local community, and they are very important, and noise is very serious. They don't need to worry too much about this because essentially what it's doing is just maintaining the nighttime movements that we have this year with a little bit more. So this is not going to double the nighttime movements. And the nighttime movements and the noise associated with that are down compared to previous years. So in the round, we can get on with it. Happy enough with some parts of it. Don't like the cap. And I think everybody now should work to say, how do we grow the airport? But do that in a way that we have been doing in a sensible, balanced way.
In what way will this cap limit your plans or your aspirations to grow the airport?
Look, it does put a cap on the nighttime movements of over 35,000, which is about 100 flights every day of the year. So it will put restrictions on the number of early arrivals that can come in from transatlantic.
Yeah, I was going to ask which kind of particular cohort of customer are impacted by that.
I know anyone looking to do transatlantic, leaving East Coast USA into Dublin, arriving in early morning will be saying, we're unhappy because we wanted to do more flights and also flights coming from the Middle East. So they would want more. I think some of the cargo operators will also say this could be limiting what they'd like to do. So that's the bit now that we'll go and analyse and say, how do we grow? But we know we want to grow more in the middle of the day than in the nighttime, because there's other factors like operational restrictions in place. But not every airline's going to be happy with it. They would want more. I think they're right to want more. We wanted more, but there's enough now in this decision for us to get on with. There's not an immediate risk as there was with the draft decision. I really welcome and praise on Commissioner Planola for saying they made a calculation error in the draft decision that came out in September. I think some people who don't like don't want any growth to the airport thought that could be the decision. That was never going to be the decision because that was a massive reduction in the existing levels of flights at Dublin Airport. So fair play for them for coming out and putting their hand up and saying, yeah, there was an error. They've now issued this final decision. We should all get on with it. And then we can come back to it at a future point in time to say, how do we continue to grow Dublin Airport?
Yeah, would it be your plan
way
to come back to this and in an ideal situation, you'd see that cap lifted?
Yeah, we don't like caps. We don't like the passenger cap. I've been on your show loads of times, Kieran, to say we don't like the passenger cap. We don't want a movement cap also. So look, passenger cap, movement cap, it's not the best way of managing it when aircraft are getting quieter and as things are moving on. So we don't like those. We want to grow the airport. That's our mission in DAA, but we want to do that in a way that really respects and works with the local community. I've heard some of the things that were said on the show by a local councillor. We do have a scheme for buying homes out. We've offered to buy out 41 people's homes. We buy out at the market price.
He suggested
30%.
That it should be expanded. It's too narrow an alley is not the kind of language he used, but effectively that's what he's talking about.
It's the broadest scheme in Europe that we know of. We have really strong noise regulation for aviation in Ireland. That's a really, really good thing. We've offered to buy out 41 homes. We've insulated two homes. We've come forward ourselves before this decision with a voluntary insulation scheme to say we'll do 400 more homes. If we end up insulating 1,000 homes for noise in conjunction with where our regulator says we should insulate them, we're happy to do that because we take that really, really seriously. More than half of our staff live in the local community. So they tell us this stuff all the time. So we only want to grow if we do it in a sensible way, but people should be happier. There's 38 fewer homes impacted by noise today at a level that you'd call disturbance than there was 5 years ago. So we're doing the right things. We want to grow, but we want to grow in a way that the local community are happy with.
So there's lots of things that could limit the amount of people who can passage through an airport, infrastructure, the kind of the amount of buildings you have, the number of runways, a whole host of things. How many people could move through Dublin Airport without buying any extra land? What's the upper limit?
Well, when you look at really the future, without us buying any land, I comfortably have in front of me several different versions of a master plan that would take over 60 million.
Really?
Now, if you take, like today, we had 125,000 passengers going through the airport today. 125,000 by 365 is about 45 million. So would I be comfortable to say operationally we can take 45 million every year? No, but 40 million, yes. We want to get the 40 million application approved. We need to start building new piers. We need to start building new stands. We need to start building the underpass that connects the airport to the west. But comfortably, you know, we could operate at 40 million today because we kind of are. This year we'll do 36.4 million already. But we are working on the 10-year plan that will include, you know, a vision for what a 60 million Dublin airport looks like without buying any land and maintains the excellent standards that we're giving our passengers today.
Quite a few people getting in touch wondering why there's not a plan to just redirect flights to some of the other airports. Could people not fly in and out of Cork and expand Cork at the expense of Dublin?
There's nothing to stop them doing that at the moment. It's a deregulated aviation market. Airlines fly where they will fill aircraft and make the best return. That's the way it works. So there's nothing to stop them doing that. You know, we incentivize airlines to fly to Cork, and Cork Airport is Ireland's fastest growing airport. So I think what the listeners are asking for is already happening. But Dublin is where the airlines, a lot of the airlines want to fly to, particularly for the long haul flights.
Do you view this decision by An Cumasúin Pleanála as a good portent in terms of the other planning application you've got, the big one?
Yeah, I do. I do. Look, Ireland needs to take its infrastructure more seriously, particularly its transportation infrastructure, particularly what's going on with the economic risks that we see. And the airport can give good growth. You know, Dublin Airport alone is over 2% of Ireland's GDP. Airlines want to grow. Or tourism needs a shot in the arm. Why would we stop the airport growing? It's the right thing to do, and it's our mission in DA. So I hope now with this decision, and again, we broadly welcome it, I hope that it starts to unlock the next things that need to happen. I've written to Fingal County Council today to suggest that we meet next week to start working on the 40 million infrastructure application. Because waiting for this decision was the biggest blocker to that.
We heard from that clip from Dara O'Brien. One of the things he requested of DAA was that that you continue to engage with the local community, is how he put it. We spoke to Dr. Niamh Maher from the local community, and a point she made was that the health concerns, the health impact of the noise interference, she says, has never been taken seriously by DAA or others. What do you say to that charge?
We take it very seriously because we have to, because we have a noise regulator, and that's a good thing. You know, we've insulated homes. We want to insulate more homes. And I would say anyone who thinks that, you know, nighttime noise is an issue that disturbs them, contact us. There's 70,000 complaints out there, but look, it's 10 people are creating most of the complaints. So it's very good that there's a small number of people are impacted, but we take that seriously and we want to do more. On the health concerns pointed out by Niamh Maher, you know, they've done a study and they're taking data from Brussels Airport and applying to Dublin. We don't agree with that methodology and those, you know, the claim that it is impacting people's health. That's not proven. Aircraft are getting quieter. They're producing less emissions. And we will do everything we can to work with the local community. Look, airport, it would be great in a perfect world if planes were silent, but they're not yet. They're kind of heading in that direction, but we're not there yet. But Dublin Airport, the connectivity it provides to Ireland and what it does for Ireland's economy is just too important.
Liam O'Grady is a spokesperson as well for this residence group, St Margaret's Ward, and he says, what makes this approval particularly egregious is that the flight paths could have been routed over uninhabited solar panel fields, which have been lying barren for over 20 years in anticipation of authorised flight paths. Instead, the decision intentionally subjects thousands of people to unnecessary noise and pollution, which could have been avoided. Could the planes be going a different way?
No, he's wrong. Look, the flight paths are determined by ICAO guidelines. They take many things into consideration, like security and safety. It's a very simplistic thing to say fly over barren fields. It doesn't work that way. So, you know, there's lots of people involved in the decision on the flight paths. The flight paths are now, we think, working well. They're fully compliant. Some people make a mistake and say flight paths are driven by planning permission. Those two things aren't connected. But Liam O'Grady, in this case, he's wrong.
What is the next big piece then of public transport infrastructure that is going to be delivered or that you hope will be delivered at Dublin Airport? It's not going to be the metro. That's somewhere down the line. That won't be next.
Look, we just want to get more and more people coming on the bus to Dublin Airport. Happy to say that, you know, there's no car park issues this summer compared to previous summers. Over a third of people are continuing to come on the bus. That's good. I met with a number of transportation CEOs in semi-states, and the Clongriffin train spur is an interesting one that should be kept on the table. I would say do that and the metro. The metro is going to take a long time, but I think they have a really good plan, and Dublin Airport Swords is the first sector.
What in your mind at the moment would be the stumbling block to that Clongriffin spur?
I can't see any, and I think they've said, Irish Rail have said they could do it in 5 years. I would say just do both. Yeah.
Almost nobody living between the airport and that spur.
But there's lots of people would go from Connolly to there and then out to the airport. So I think it would connect a lot of the city to the airport.
Yeah, but my point is that in terms of metro, which, you know,
could do it faster.
It's a very kind of intrusive project.
Yeah.
You're just going to discommode sheep.
Yeah, and that's why it can be
potatoes.
That's why it can be done in 5 years. And I would say, let's do both, because as we're talking about the 16 million Dublin Airport, let's have a metro, let's have a train that connects to Connolly, and let's do everything we can.
Kenny Jacobs, CEO of DAA. Kenny, thanks a million for joining us here on the show.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.